Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Jahaira.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Today we will be talking about Nicole Montalvo, whose case also involves domestic violence.
Antes de empezar el caso, we again would like to give you all a heads up.
We will talk about sensitive topics. Queríamos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
And again, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. Okay, let's jump in.
Nicole Montalvo, de 33 años, de St. Cloud, Florida, estaba bien y estaba feliz. Ella acababa de pagar el primer mes de su propio apartamento y le encantaba pasar tiempo con su hijo Elijah, de 8 años, y ella también estuvo involucrada en su escuela.
Yeah, she was a super involved mom, and she was surrounded by people who loved and cared about her. Her parents, her siblings, and a twin brother. And all of these people would always give her advice. All her loved ones gave her advice about her husband. They all knew he was abusive, and they all wanted her out of that situation.
And so she did get out of that situation, you know, the abusive relationship that she was in. There were reports, but there were never consequences that would prevent him from coming back. And at that moment in time, she was out already, but there was a long history of abuse.
For an example, in 2016, Nicole filed a restraining order, but the history goes even way back than that. But this time in 2016, it was really bad. It was the worst that it had ever been. So she filed a restraining order.
Y en octubre del 2018, los registros judiciales muestran que Christopher Otero Rivera había secuestrado y golpeado brutalmente a su esposa. Le envió un mensaje de texto para que lo recogiera. Él le indicó que condujera a un lugar específico y ella hizo lo que él le dijo en el mensaje. Y en ese momento fue solo un paseo en el carro.
Yeah, like it was just a ride from your husband. But when they arrived to that destination, that's when a woman, Tony Rocker, dragged Nicole out of the car and began beating her. Christopher did the same. He got off the car and began beating her while going through her phone. And he went as far as trying to snap her neck. It's intense. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's so...
I mean, trying to snap her neck isn't really trying to, like, beat her. That's trying to murder her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, like, who is this other person? I actually do think they said... It might have been, like, his girlfriend, but I don't know.
Yeah, like, who are they really in the picture?
Yeah. At the end of this assault, la amenazaron con no decir nada.
But Nicole told the police anyway, which I'm really glad that she did, because I feel like a lot of the times, una amenaza really does shake people to the core where they want to keep silent. So I'm glad that she was like, no, F that, and went straight to the police. And that actually led him to being arrested. And so Christopher served jail time and got 2 years of probation.
While he was in jail, Nicole filed for divorce in February 2019. She wanted to put an end to a toxic and abusive relationship.
Y ya después que Christopher salió, Nicole y Christopher solo se comunicaban a través de una aplicación para padres. Y esto hizo que Nicole se sintiera un poquito más segura, you know? I also wouldn't want that person around me.
And she also communicated with Christopher's parents, Angel Luis Rivera and Wanda Rivera. And I think they were kind of like the middleman between the
her
both.
And Christopher.
Yeah. And I guess for the sake of the child.
Yeah.
And during this time, Christopher was wearing an ankle monitor as part of his probation.
And on October 21st of 2019, Nicole was dropping off her 8-year-old son to her husband, Christopher, who was staying in a home on Hickson Avenue at his parents' house.
Nicole left to work, but we later find out that she never made it to work and never made it to pick up her son, Elijah, from school. later that day. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, was nothing like her. Like, she was mm-hmm. a responsible mom. She'd always show up, or at least communicated if she couldn't make it, or, like, communicate with, like, someone in her family or mm-hmm. with Christopher or with the parents of Christopher to, like,
let them know.
Yeah, set something up for someone to pick up Elijah. But, you know, like, no one heard anything from her.
Y entonces comenzó a preocupar a todos a su alrededor porque no había actividad en las redes sociales y en ninguna de sus cuentas y no respondía a ningún mensaje de texto ni a las llamadas telefónicas.
Aquí fue cuando fue reportada como desaparecida.
Pero no había suficientes pistas, pero pues like right off the bat las autoridades bien rápidamente vieron like a history of domestic violence. Entonces, the authorities, you know, quickly go to the Hickson home and talk to the family. I mean, after all, that was the last place that is known of where Nicole was at, right? Because mm-hmm. she was dropping her son off. And when they got to the house, everything in the home looked normal. And, you know, the family did try to cooperate with the authorities.
Mm-hmm. The father-in-law actually told investigators that Nicole texted him asking him to care for Elijah for a couple of days. And I think she also like apologized, said sorry, then like that she had to take care of something. Mm-hmm. But it was just a message that did not sound like her at all.
Mm-hmm. It's again crazy how even through a text message you can like tell when the vibe's mm-hmm. off. Pero ya, las autoridades piensan que esto era sospechoso y pensaron que tal vez alguien más envió ese mensaje, like Steph was saying.
Mm-hmm. And so they did check her phone records because el mensaje era un poco sospechoso. And they find out that the phone pinged near the Hickson's house. And so they started kind of like thinking maybe a lo mejor nunca se fue de la casa. Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they made this connection was because, you know, they just came upon this abandoned car and they ran the plates and, you know, came out that it was Nicole's car.
Mm-hmm. Entonces, revisaron el auto y no encontraron evidencia, nothing that pointed to foul play or anything like mm-hmm. that. No había pistas importantes como sangre, like nada de eso.
Yeah. So it kind of makes it like a little harder. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the next step then was for the authorities to go check her apartment. Pero cuando llegaron al apartamento, no había rastros de ella allí.
So they really didn't have any leads at this point. Mm-hmm. They were kind of stuck. And so they decided to go back to the last place that she was at, mm-hmm. to the last people that she talked to. So this time around, they were looking more closely at the mm-hmm. property. And so a crime scene technician testified that they noticed tire marks in the yard and that they followed them. And it led to a trailer that was covered in debris. And when they removed it, they spotted what looked like human flesh, but like it wasn't. They weren't super clear mm-hmm. about it, but with the smell and the flies flying around, they knew that this was not a good sign.
Yeah, and like Steph said, you know, they couldn't tell right off from the beginning if it was a human body or not. It was human flesh, though, that they found.
Mm-hmm. So they took some samples, and they also took samples from Nicole's parents so that mm-hmm. they could compare. And sadly, they were able to make a match.
Later, a neighbor told investigators that he saw two people digging with an excavator.
Nicole fue encontrada quemada, dismembered, y enterrada en octubre de 2019 en las propiedades de St. Cloud que pertenecen a la familia de su esposo Christopher Otero Rivera y su suegro Ángel Luis Rivera.
Los dos hombres fueron arrestados por la muerte de Nicole, but Angel Rivera was released from jail for a small period of time in January 2020. Cristina Montalvo, la hermana de Nicole, estaba manejando a su casa después de un día de trabajo cuando un carro muy similar al carro de los asesinos de su hermana empezó a perseguirla. Los asesinos conocían dónde trabajaba, so she was beyond scared. Y en este momento, ella llamó a su hermano. Like, in that moment, that's, you know, that was her instinct. Like, I need to get someone to know about this. And it turned out that it wasn't him, though. But the thought and the memory of that moment, you know, still haunts her. Like, these are the people that killed her sister.
Yeah, and she also said that she couldn't imagine what her sister felt when these two people were attacking her.
Yeah. Like, they brutally murdered her.
Yeah. Y dijo que ella no quería sentir ese miedo otra vez. And so, like, she was just so, like, anxious about, like, the trial coming up and like, the final verdict.
Yeah.
Like, is she going to feel safe or is she not? Mm-hmm. Is her sister going to get justice? Is she not?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think in that moment, like, I don't know. Like, does she think that she has to relocate for her own safety? Like, all these things were going inside her mind.
No, yeah, for sure. And so, fast forward to the court. Evidence comes to light that months before, both men had made a plan to get Nicole to lose custody of her child, Elijah. And again, Christopher and his dad, they wanted to plant drugs in Nicole's car, kind of like framing her, you know?
Mm-hmm. Then someone testified saying that Angel Luis Rivera wanted to pay them to kill Nicole rather than just to plant the drugs.
Yeah.
Like, it was just escalating so quickly.
Yeah, it was. Y Jennifer Nara, the medical examiner, testified saying she never had seen that level of mutilation. She stated, and I quote, "There were many portions of the bones not present. There were a lot of small little fragments of them, almost like the bones had been put through a wood chipper." Imagine how, like,
brutal and, like, gruesome that is. Like,
that's really gruesome.
The cause of death was listed as homicidal violence of unspecified means because of the condition of the body.
Like, just imagine for them not to be able to, like, know exactly, like, how she passed away. Ugh, it makes me really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Neither man, though, took the stand. At some point, the defense for Christopher put the blame for Nicole's murder on Angel Rivera, which was Christopher's dad, and they pretty much were saying that all evidence pointed to him.
I don't know, but, like, I know they're two separate people, you know, and two separate defense teams, but when one person is, like, trying to pin something on the other person, right? Like, family-wise,
that is your dad.
Like, wow, these people.
No, like, type of, like, morals or boundaries.
Yeah.
Not parents, but family.
Wanda Rivera, esposa de Angel y madre de Christopher, testified y ella dijo que Nicole y ella estaban en buenos términos, that she often let her kid there and that was fine. And she also said she had no idea how her remains were buried on her property.
Nicolás Rivera, el hermano y hijo, also testified. Early in the investigation, he told authorities that he saw his brother Christopher and his father, Angel, standing around Nicole in a pool of blood in the garage. But when he was put on stand, he was saying that he didn't remember going home from work that day. So, you know, he's like kind of changing the story. And of course, the prosecutors eventually got him to testify that he did wake up late at night and saw his father outside the day of Nicole's disappearance.
El juez condenó a cadena perpetua tanto a Christopher Otero Rivera como a Ángel Luis Rivera por el asesinato de Nicole Montalvo. Fueron declarados culpables de todos los cargos. Fueron acusados de homicidio en segundo grado, manipulación de pruebas y abuso de un cuerpo humano.
La familia Montalvo lloraron cuando el juez dio la sentencia. They finally believed and felt like justice was served.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, like, a lot more safer.
Yeah. Her youngest brother said, and I quote, "We promised her we'd get justice for her and we'd raise Elijah in a safe, healthy, and happy environment." He continued saying, and I quote, He's been such an incredible kid these past 18 months. Our parents have done an amazing job. Mm-hmm. End quote.
Honestly, like, that makes me happy to hear that at least Elijah, you know, is being well taken care of. And obviously, you know, there's nothing like losing your mom or a parent, but just knowing that he's safe mm-hmm. and that someone's watching him.
Yeah, he has like a stability.
Mm-hmm. And so, again, this wasn't like the first case that we covered here that deals with domestic violence. And, you know, just how we have these two cases, there's like millions and millions of cases out there that deal with this topic, you know. And so we also just wanted to quickly include the number for the National Domestic Hotline, which is available 24/7. We deeply encourage you all to reach out if you need any support or help. And so, yeah, so the number is 1-800-799-7233. And if you're unable to speak safely, feel free to log on to thehotline.org or just text START to 88788.
La Línea Directa Nacional contra la Violencia Doméstica está disponible las 24 horas del día, los 7 días de la semana. Si necesita ayuda, llame al número 1-800-799-7233. Si no puede hablar con seguridad, inicie una sesión en thehotline.org o envíe un mensaje de texto con la palabra START al número 88788.
And again, we just want to say thank you for listening to this week's episode.
Gracias por escuchar el episodio.
And again, if you have any requests, feel free to send us a DM either through Instagram or Twitter. We're usually on there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. It. We'll see y'all next week.